This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of What Most People Think. This is a bonus. I'm not even going to give this one a number. It's just bonus episode. Bonus. It's largely because of the local elections. I'm doing this on Friday. A little time check, do a time code check, just so if what I say gets totally superseded, you'll know that this was recorded at 9:30 a.m. on Friday. A historic day. Well, it depends how you want to spin it, really. Depends how you want to spin it. All the parties are spinning away, aren't they? They're in their little spinning class. It's just not that bad. It's not that good. It's actually, we've done quite well, you know. Look, I got up early for this. I got up early for the local election results to make sure I was on top of things. And when I say got up early, I mean fucking, I had one of those lorries that just rocks up. You know these fans now that just deliver shit at 7:15? And then you get downstairs, you got your fucking one bollock hanging out of your boxers, you got bedhead, and they go, oh, did we wake you up? No, mate, this is how I like to answer. I've actually been up since 4 a.m. dressed like this, hoping that a lorry driver would bang on the door. And the great thing was, it wasn't even meant for me. That was really great. It was great to get be got up at 6:15 or 6:45 for a package that was for somebody else. And they saw a bit of my package. Yeah. I mean, I sounded like Sid James. I don't know why I said that. I feel a bit grossed out of myself. But look, on the local election things, as things stand, obviously Wales and Scotland withstanding. Obviously, the Tories are not necessarily going to do that well there. I mean, it's a bit like me selling tickets in Leicester, which I don't like to bring up. But the early signs are that Labour did well in London, but fell back in England. Labour did well in London. There you go. I mean, what an achievement. Labour doing well in London. It's a bit like England taking wickets on a green, seamy pitch in May. You know, and if there are any new listeners, that's a way to lose them, isn't it, with an early cricket reference. And yeah, I mean, I know that there'll be a lot of Star McQueens now. I'm trying to make this a thing. That they really desperately, you know, want Labour to have had a good night. But Professor John Curtis, the electoral expert, has sort of said that that's the case. Labour did well in London, but actually went backwards in England, which doesn't bode well for a general election. So they're kind of now discounting that, you know, the so-called grown-ups in the room. They call themselves that. We're actually the grown-ups in the room, which just always makes me... That always makes me think that that's something that Will from The Inbetweeners would say. And but yeah, maybe they don't like... Maybe they've had enough of experts, eh? Maybe they've arrived at that point too. And in the most Boris Johnson twist ever, a baddish night for the Tories might be a decent night for him. I mean, that is just the most... You know, just fall in shit and come up smelling of roses. It seems almost impossible now that there will be a leadership challenge. I guess that the Sue Gray report could be bad on a level, but it would have to be. I mean, we're talking stuff with pigs, aren't we? We're talking actual, unlike Cameron where it's just allegations, we're talking video footage of stuff happening with pigs. But before we get on to all that, just a thank you to the patrons. I mean, one of the reasons I'm able to do this show is kept weekly and ad-free by my lovely patrons, right? And, you know, we don't have any ads on it at this point. So, you know, a lot of these very successful podcasts they'll have. Right now, you just suddenly get one cut in and go, ding dong, cyber walkies. I'm Jeff Norcott, and I've discovered this new drone which rocks up at your house and takes your dog for a walk. Cyber walkies. It's really taken the stress out of dog walking. You just give them all the details to your house, which is fine. And they'll even tickle its belly. Cyber walkies. Ding dong. So yeah, one of those weird startup companies. I mean, obviously I advertise myself, but that, you know, that's factored in. And just a quick shout out to a couple of VIP patrons. Chris Covain. And my friend Tarquin, you see, just VIPs, they've already had their shout. I'm just throwing in another one, man. You know, once you are a Patreon, there's all sorts of things that you'll get. You'll get my last two specials. I'm just going to use wanky American words now. And you can stream them. Stream them. You can play them. You get my last two stand-up shows and you can play them. Look, this is what most people think. We're talking how people actually speak in this fucking country. My last two stand-ups shows and you can watch them. And at all levels are guaranteed that, plus a weekly Patreon-only episode. So there's plenty of benefits there. Just go to Patreon, type in Jeff Norcourt or what most people think, and you can get set up, man, and start enjoying... I hate myself when I do it. Loads of exclusive content. We will also, if we've got time, briefly talk about the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp case, which has got people talking. But it is a What Most People Think episode, so we will do a thank you and a fuck you. First up, thank you to Cambridge University. I mean, universities, if you're woke, suspicious, you know, I don't always say like I'm blatantly anti-woke on anything, because hey, one day they might come up with a good idea. But one thing that's certain is that universities have been throwing up regular examples of things that just make you go, what? Right? And Cambridge University have been looking at making the exams easier, because they say that these 3-hour written exams are really hard. And I mean, first thing, I kind of thought that Cambridge exams like would be hard. I mean, they're saying it's very hard for people to get firsts. I thought that should be hard, shouldn't it? You know, I thought it was always one thing that should be difficult, right? And they say one of the problems is they want to make sure that more women and ethnic minorities get first, which is kind of patronising, isn't it? To say, well, this is hard, and I'll tell you who struggle with this, women. You know, I mean, there's other problems in universities. There's a lot more women going to university generally than men. And, you know, if you look at white working class boys, they're currently the least likely cohort percentage wise to go to university. But no, let's make getting a first easier. I mean, this is one of the things on the left. They always talk about the fucking glass ceiling, when the truth is, for a lot of people, they are focused on the carpet. You know, how can I clean my carpet? No, the glass ceiling. Smash the glass ceiling. And you know, one of the things that they're questioning is whether or not you should have written exams in an age where most kids type, because you don't really do that in the real world. You think, well, there's a lot of things that you don't do in the real world that you do in school, like algebra. I mean, has anybody used a protractor recently? Anyone had the old protractor out, or the compass? Assemblies. I think you don't really have assemblies in the workplace, do you? I think that would be quite a good thing, right? If you work a branch of Quick Fit, and then your boss goes, okay, buddy, gather together, and then your regional manager, Andy, just tells you about other tyre fitters that aren't doing so well in poorer countries. That was always the point of assemblies, wasn't it? And then you'll sing Kumbaya and get the fuck on with your working day. The fuck you this week is dog, a story about my dog, Annie. So I've got another cockapoo. I've got two cockapoos. Don't take... And I know it's an obvious dog to have now, but they're good dogs. That's the thing, is they cost... They're a bit like... Cockapoos are like the iPhones, aren't they? Where you go, well, they're expensive and they're overrated, but they are quite good. They're like, there's a reason that they're popular. And she is funny, and she is... she's very loving, and yeah, she's a good dog, but she's leery as fuck. I mean, we've basically bought a Scrappy-Doo, you know. And she also is, in terms of jumping up at people, it's a nightmare. And I was walking the other night, and as a woman walked past, you know, one of these women that just, you know, like, it's always not a nice thing, there's people, women that just look nervous to begin with, right? So this woman walked past, I tried to sort of step away and give her a bit of space, but Annie did this thing where she went around the back of her, and she jumps up and hits things with her nose, and she hit her nose on the woman's ass, and the woman turned around and looked at me, like, instinctively, you know, and I was like, and I just thought, I went, it was my cockapoo. What? It's just the worst, least plausible sounding thing ever. If a woman thinks you've engaged in a low level sexual assault, it's to say, it wasn't me, it was Annie. Okay, let's get on with the first of our two subjects here, and let's talk about last night's local and today's local election results. As I've already sort of characterised the broad sweep of the results here, Tories losing Westminster was a big thing. You know, big thing. They lost Westminster, they lost Wandsworth, which had been going that way for quite a while. You know, Barnet, there were certain demographic changes. You know, Barnet in a way is a good sign for Starmer, because there's a big Jewish population there, and it suggests that he's placated them on the old anti-Semitism thing. I mean, you just forget how bad that shit was under Corbyn. But Westminster was a shock. And I think, you know, I mean, first things first, thoughts and prayers to these people that wanted to give the government a bloody nose. And I understand that there are legitimate reasons for doing that. But they will have to have a Labour local council. So good luck with that, you know, when they get all bankrupt and they're having to go to fucking Amigo loans just to keep going. And you have to ask yourself the question, you know, the people that voted Conservative in Westminster in Mayfair, the millionaires and billionaires in Mayfair, are they going to vote Labour at a general election? I don't know, man. I don't know. But look, you have to view in context in England. That you look at the last 6 months and the bad press that the Tories have been getting, both from left-wing press and from right-wing press. You had Owen Paterson. You had Partygate. You had so much Partygate. I mean, I was angry at the beginning, but did anybody else just feel squeezed out by being like, okay, we get it. Shit stuff that happens. You know, we've all slagged him off. Why are we still talking about this? We had Rishi, old non-Dom Silva. I don't know if anybody else is calling that. I'm coining it. We had the pawn, the sleaze, the disappointing spring statement. They just don't seem to want to cut any tax as a way of saving the economy. You know, it's a Conservative Party. Just cut VAT, you fucking weirdos. And yet these are results that are roughly in line with what you'd expect at any time when you have local elections essentially in midterm. And if you listen, Tuesday's election preview special is available. And that's still worth listening to because there's a lot of insight there from Ian Dale. And he talks about, you know, 1990, where the Tories lost 1,000 seats. And, it's definitely not even going to be close to that territory. So you just have to keep asking yourself, is this good enough? You know, I don't think it represents significant enough progress for the Labour Party. And, and that will annoy the Starmer Queens, which I'm so trying to make a thing. But we were told until recently that the country had fundamentally turned its back on the Tories. Well, they had gains in Hartlepool. I think that, you know, there were some Leave seats where Labour did a bit better, but the Tory vote kind of held up. And it's tricky for the Keir Starmer fans because they spent so long taking the piss out of Corbyn that they want to be validated. They want to have their moment. Do you know what I mean? They want to bust out their Keir Starmer memes. the grown-ups in the room. We're the grown-ups in the room. We're in charge now. We're the grown-ups in the room. But this doesn't give them that. And they're tetchy. And they're tetchy. I understand why they're tetchy. Because they're annoyed. They really thought they had their sort of ethically sourced Prosecco on ice. They were wanting to toast an unequivocal Labour win, but this doesn't give them that. And, you know, you can't change the fact that it doesn't represent that. Hating Boris is so much of their energy, but it's not enough to overturn objective fucking reality. But look, you know, I should reveal to you how I voted, if anyone gives a fuck. I spoiled my ballot paper, and I'll tell you why. In my area, weirdly, after all the Partygate stuff, it did come down to local issues, and it transpires that in my area, the Tories have spunking a fair bit of money for a while. So I didn't, you know, given the national stuff, which again was less important, actually the Partygate thing wasn't as annoying to me as the fact that they're not really doing things that would stimulate the economy. So I couldn't vote for them on this occasion. So I spoiled my ballot paper and I did pussy out of doing a spunking cock and balls. I'm ashamed to admit I really wanted to do it. And then I thought about, you know, hey, gender equality, do some boobs as well. But then there was a woman, like one of these kindly volunteers that sits there, and I thought, God, she's given up her time for democracy. She doesn't want to see a spunking cock on her foot. Well, maybe she does. You never know. But yeah, I just put spoiled in capital letters with an exclamation mark. And I know I said in my book, still available, by the way, paperback out, flash Kindle sale currently going on, but there's no advertising on this podcast. My mum would at least respect that I'd gone and exercised my democratic right. And you know, it has to be said that I was not close to voting for the alternatives. On a local and national level, they did not appeal, right? Right. The Lib Dems, as discussed with Ian Dale, I'm not sure they've spent quite long enough on the naughty step. And look, if you, one of the things that you bring to the table when thinking about who to vote for is, you know, where the party stand on culture issues or even woke issues. I mean, the Lib Dems, when shit gets down to it, they think some mad stuff. You know, some of this stuff about potentially legalising cannabis isn't that far out of step with wider society. But when you get to the sort of like Leyla Moran end of the party, then, you know, you'll see that they are not wildly dissimilar to Labour in terms of where they sit culturally. And, you know, Labour in my area didn't even stand a candidate. Not one single candidate. And, you know, on your side was the slogan for this election. Obviously not on your side enough that they would stand a candidate, you know. There was no electoral pacts, by the way. You got to just stop with this cynicism, please. It was just a coincidence that in a lot of marginal areas that quite often Labour or Liberal Democrats didn't stand a candidate. There has been no discussion about this. It just happened, okay? I mean, fucking hell. I said it before, but you talk about misleading the public. Just be honest about what's going on here. But they'll struggle to pull that trick at a general election, okay? It's not going to work. And you have to think that Labour results do have to be seen in the context of the fact that they happened with this pact, right? They did this modestly well. It's not, I mean, as results are still coming in as I'm recording this, don't even, if modestly well is probably overstating it very, very slightly. And if Labour were to win a general election, right, just say they were to get their shit together, people go suddenly went, you know what, Keir Starmer, I actually find him quite exciting in his boringness.
Yeah, well, Keir Starmer just suddenly, you know, suddenly people started buying into it.
They'd be so clustered around big cities. It would, the geography of how Britain was run would start to become an issue, because you'd look at the map, right, the blue, the red and the yellows, and you'd see, oh, they're just, the reds are just in a few places. They're in London, they're in Manchester, they're in Bristol, they're in Newcastle in the northeast, and you'd think, fucking, I tell you where Labour do well. Labour do well anywhere that you can find an Itsu, right? Labour do well is almost like Wagamama effect. If there's a Wagamamas, there's a chance that Labour could win that constituency. What most people think. And, you know, a lot of this show is what most people think. It's about what's happening in the real country rather than what's happening in social media. But sometimes you get a sense of that by looking at social media. And as the results started to come in last night, I mean, it wasn't the fact that the Tory vote had held up, right? It wasn't the fact that they'd even won wards or held wards. Some people were shocked that anybody was voting Tory. So, like, the first few results that were tweeted out by Britain Elects, people going, what? What's wrong with these people? Oh, my God, are they not watching James O'Brien monologues every day? Like me. I mean, fucking hell, James O'Brien, I don't know, write in whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. Does he ever do any balance, right? Because if you look at good political reporters, Nick Ferrari, Ian Dale, you know, some good left-wing type, I'm trying to think if there are any good left-wing radio hosts, but they do go the other way sometimes. But all I ever see on the LBC, so I can't comment on this, it may not be the case, but from the LBC feed, all I ever see is James O'Brien eviscerates Tory. I mean, that is just like the standard James O'Brien thing, or James O'Brien absolutely demolishes something British. James O'Brien shits on the English breakfast. James, that's all I've ever seen. Now, maybe those are, they only share those clips. Maybe every once in a while he does concede that perhaps Labour are a bit shit in some areas, you know, or perhaps that Remain overextended certain arguments and thereby hamstrung themselves. But that's all I ever see is James O'Brien eviscerates. James O'Brien makes mincemeat. It's funny, isn't it? These grown-ups in the room. The grown-ups in the room are actually quite macho when it comes down to it. They're always eviscerating or dismantling. There's just so much difference still between Twitter and Britain, and they just don't get it, do they? They don't get it yet. There was a while. Do you remember when echo chambers were a thing? People seem to worry about that, you know, especially after the Brexit vote. Like, what? Not everyone thinks the same shit that's on my Twitter feed? And there seemed to be a genuine voice of concern about the existence of echo chambers. I don't think people care now. I think what people have worked out is their echo chamber has a disproportionate amount of force on social media. So they're just sort of barricading the echo chamber. You know, they're trying to make it more echoey. And the direction of traffic on social media was that the Tory vote would absolutely collapse in England. Like I say, Wales and Scotland, we've yet to see what's happening there. But it simply hasn't. And you've got to get politicians and journalists off Twitter. I mean, like, it makes it interesting. But what happens is something gains force on Twitter. We all know how this works now. It's got almost like Michael McIntyre there. Look, we all know how this works now. We all know, you know, someone goes on Twitter. It'd be funny if Michael McIntyre suddenly started pivoting to do, like, real topical stuff. You know what I mean? You know, I said about the Lib Dems. Is that good? I don't even know. I sort of sound like a robot there. I said about the Lib Dems. Or somebody who smoked too long and had to have one of those things in their throat. But we do know how social media works, and something gains traction. People have tricks or hashtags of ways of amplifying a message. Journalists see the message and they probably think initially, well, that's just the Twitter issue. But then, you know, they go, oh, it's got 60,000 likes. 60,000 likes isn't even the size of an average constituency in this country. So if you see, you know, yet another Angela Rayner tweet, all right, going, you know, the Tories are a fucking disgrace. And you go, 60,000 likes. Fucking hell, that's quite big. That's not even half, that's half a constituency of people. But the journalists eventually go, well, maybe this should be on the news because they live in that world too. And then journalists, they spend their whole time checking their phones. And it does seem that what happened, surprise, surprise, in these local elections was that people voted about local stuff. I mean, it's just, I guess, you know, life does throw curveballs, people. The local elections were, had a local dimension for them. We're going to chew over this shock development. Join us for the next hour here on Radio Chat Shit. Is Keir Starmer the guy? This is the question that needs to be asked. I have to say, I know that they would not want to change their leader at this point. No, he's not. He can steady the ship. He could potentially get it going in the right direction, but he is not the guy. They need a talisman. They need one of your Angela Rayners. You know, it's what people who work in football punditry do. You, Jeff, do you mean Angela Rayner? No, Angela Rayners. You need one of your Angela Rayners, your Dan Jarvises, your Andy Burnhams. Someone with the character and purpose and charisma and a political vision. Because people say, well, no, no, what Labour are going to do is genius. They're just going to sit it out. And you think, well, how close to the election do you think you can get whilst telling, not telling people what the fuck you stand for? And let's be honest, what most people think, we can deal with the harsh realities of politics, is that they need someone as a leader who doesn't sound like Josh Widdicombe. Okay, do you think I got that analysis right? Are the Starmer Queens, are you fired up? Then email, I do sound like a radio phoning guy now. Then just email in at whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. Just a quick hype, this is going out on Friday. I've got a show tomorrow night and Saturday at the Cambridge, no, not the Cambridge, the Ipswich Corn Exchange, and then shows next week. I'm in Oxford on Thursday. I took it to Oxford on Thursday. We're still trying to find parking on Friday because they got no parking in Oxford. Oh, no, Oxford on Friday the 13th. Eh? Friday the 13th. Me in Metropolitan Remainer Heartland, Oxford on the 13th. Could go wrong there. Could be a riot, but a weird Remainer type riot. So no riot at all. Just a march. Maybe a nice lunch. Oh, unexpected Remainer slam there. Then on 14th, on Saturday the 14th, I'm in Huntingdon. That's it. I thought I had loads of tour shows next week. That's it. Friday in Oxford, Saturday in Huntingdon. Huntingdon is as close as they'll legally get. Let me get to Cambridge. You know what Cambridge is like. It's a bit lefty, a bit Lib Demi, a bit Labour. I've actually got a restraining order. I'm not allowed to go within 2 miles of a fucking gondolier. Is that what they have on the boats there? Anyway, let's get back. Let's talk about the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp case. Okay, I just wanted to do this story because it has come up quite a lot. It is part of the cultural discussion. It's the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case. Now, she made an allegation a while ago in the newspaper that Johnny Depp had physically abused her. This is something that Johnny Depp has always strenuously denied, and he's brought a case which has been heard in the US, and there's a lot of stuff on the stand. I mean, basically, like, the stuff that you want. You know, when it comes to celebrities, we just want them. And we want them airing their dirty washing. This has gone out of public life a bit. You know, we all think that, you know, hashtag be kind. You know, well, also, you know, I like to be titillated from time to time. Ever since the golden age of OJ. And obviously that was based on something very bad happening. But it's good telly. Let's be honest, it was very good telly. And this is excellent television. And Johnny Depp, he as I say, he denies that he's done this. Now, it is clear to me. First thing I should say is that, you know, there is a lot of issues around, you know, certainly with rape and conviction rates and stuff like that. So there's a desire to believe women, which I do understand, right? And there are, but I just have to say, I haven't met barely a single woman that believes a thing that comes out of Amber Heard's mouth. I'm talking about what most people think in the real world. When this woman speaks, women do not believe her. I speak to blokes, they're like, yeah. I mean, we're sort of a bit dazzled by the fact she's quite good looking, I suppose, but women are like, nah, not having that. Because she's got a way of, first, she's an actress, I just think any man that dates an actress, you are asking for problems. Women already have a higher empathic ability. Women are better, you know, controversial, but women are better at manipulating. That can be good or bad, but they are better at doing it. I mean, when you watch a man trying to manipulate a woman, he gives it a good go, but it's sort of like, it, broadly speaking, I know there's some psychopathic assholes that are good at it, but most men, you watch a man trying to manipulate a woman, it's like watching a dog trying to get a drink from a garden sprinkler. You know, I might have used this analogy before, but in the dog's mind, he's doing all right. But to any onlooker, you think, well, he's mostly getting hit in the face with water. What most people think. And then she does this thing as well where they kind of caught her where she's been talking to her brief and stuff and she looks quite casual and happy. And then it's like, oh, back on camera. And then she does like the sad eyes thing, a bit like Puss in Boots, you know, in Shrek. When Antonio Banderas does the thing where his eyes get all big. And he just looks, and I think, look, I don't know for a fact what has gone on in their relationship. Johnny Depp is quite self-evidently a bit of a caner, to put it mildly, and as much of a nice guy that he might seem in a sober state, you just don't know when someone's drunk. You know, that's one of the most dangerous things about alcohol as a drug, is there's a loss of control. So I think you could go on a strong hunch that Amber Heard can spin a yarn, but you just don't know. You just don't know unless you're in the relationship. But it's fair to say there's a lot of sympathy for Johnny Depp out there in men and women. What is interesting, though, is it brings up a rare example of toxic femininity, right? And we spoke about blokes, and you know, some of those conversations were justified. Some of those were an incredibly powerful bloke who's done something rank, and all men have to feel bad about it. You know, that's happened a fair bit, isn't it? You know, if an MP wanks over tractors, then the next day all the discussion programmes would be like, do men need to have a conversation? Do men have about wanking and porn? And go, you know what? Most of us are all right, actually. And I'm not just doing the hashtag not all men thing, but if your mum raised you right, you kind of know. Don't sit there and be a dirty little perv in the House of Commons. I mean, this is just looking at porn. Just don't do it. But, you know, we don't talk often enough about what it's like if you are in a relationship where the woman is... she's a bit, I mean, can you say bunny boiler anymore? But as blokes, once you get to a certain age, most blokes will have been in at least one relationship like that. And I've been in a relationship like that. And one of the things that makes it hard to know what to do is that society doesn't really talk about it. There's a lot of films, there's a lot of dramas, there's a lot of discussion, loose women and chat shows about what you do if you're dating an arsehole man. Nowhere near as much discussion about what you do when you're dating an arsehole woman, you know, because you just don't know. This person seems to love you, but he's a bit of a prick to you from time to time. And then I have been in a relationship. I was with one where it got physical. And this is the weird thing is we had a row once and we had a sort of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard moment where we were both winding each other up. And I said something incendiary, but it wasn't horrific. You know, we were just trading verbal blows. And she punched me in the face, man. And she punched me in the face. Now, this is where I'm at a difficulty because I'm saying we should talk about these things seriously. But the truth of the matter is even in the moment, this is how fucked up men's minds are. Even in the moment, there was a part of me admiring the shot because she hit me square. I was like, whoa, she hit me with the right cross. I had to then fucking rope-a-dope. You know, for a while, just while I got my bearings back. And of course, the standard thing came back. So I grabbed onto her shoulders to get balance and stop her. And then a geezer, obviously a well-meaning guy. And a lot of women will probably think if only more men were like this. A tradesman pulled up and went, excuse me, love, is he giving you problems? I'm like, I wish I was giving her problems, mate. She's ahead on points. I shouldn't be laughing about this. I'm part of the problem here. Women, female sort of psychological and physical violence against men is something we need to have a conversation about, you know? It happens in relationships as well. I don't know if you've noticed that when a relationship is coming to an end between a man and a woman, like especially if the woman's initiated it, if it's a long relationship, there is often what I call a ground zeroing going on where the woman's kind of like, okay, it's like, you know, like the Russian military where they go, okay, well, we'll win this by just destroying everything. And bit by bit, in a protracted, messy breakup or divorce, they just sort of raise the geezer to the ground. And I sort of get it on one level where they sort of think, well, I invested in that prick for years. He was quite disappointing. But the last thing that I want is like someone that's that sort of pumped loads of money into a fruit machine. I don't want to just step away from this fruit machine. Then some other cow comes up and then wins like 250 quid. I'm going to actually vandalise the fruit machine. But it happens, you know, and it's because they're shrewd, aren't they? They're shrewd. They're sort of thinking about the jeopardy going forward. Like, if I end this relationship, see, women are far more smarter when they end a relationship. They think ahead about the next stages of what's going to happen. And they think, if I end this relationship, and I'm new with this new geezer, but I'm not sure about this new geezer. He seems nice, but you know, like with men, they're always nicer in the first flush of it when they're getting sex. We sort of need to see how it works out. But they're like, so I want to keep the other guy there. I don't love him anymore. But if this guy is a fuckhead, I want to keep the other guy there. So what I've noticed in relationships, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen with men and women as well, but let's just talk for once about the male experience of these sort of things. Is that the bloke just gets broke down bit by bit, and then he'll be like, well, you know, I think, yeah, she says she still loves me and all this stuff. And everybody looking at that situation, looking in, and, you know, I can see what's going on. And I say this not sort of taking the piss out of those blokes, but because I've had it happen to me. So, look, I think that what most people think is on balance that most of the, well, certainly the stupid behaviour in relationships is probably done by men. The day-in, day-out psychological warfare, on the other hand, is certainly a longer, more protracted military campaign, and there are many women that can certainly take significant territory over time. Okay, we just got one letter that I'm reading out here. This is from Ben Cronin. Ben Cronin. And he, I mean, so I've just read through it, and he comes from, he says, thanks for doing the podcast and stuff like that. He says, you know, obviously everyone should go and give 5-star ratings on iTunes. I mean, he doesn't say that. I'm basically saying that now. He came from a similar manner to me. And but what he does say at the end is that he hasn't had his Patreon shout out. I didn't realise he hadn't had your Patreon shout out. So, I mean, this is kind of a bit like S&M, where really what you mean is, you want to be insulted, right? A name analysis. I'll go for some name analysis. Ben Cronin. Ben Cronin, you are a weird fucking techno DJ. Okay, that is one of those names you just see. Greg Cronin. You think he made that name up? Ben Cronin. You'd be one of those techno DJs that's too young. You know, like when you first see, I've been in this clubbing for a while, like when you first see a young policeman, suddenly you see a geezer behind the decks and you think, why is it bring a kid to work day? Why is this a DJ brought his son to? So that's who you'd be, Ben Cronin. And you'd be playing a decent set of techno, and then suddenly you'd like drop some Ed Sheeran in the middle, and all the kids would go mad because they've been brought up on mashup culture, and all the pricks like me, who it isn't for in the first place, which would be standing there in the VIP section, which we only paid for, not because we're rich, but because we have to sit down. We'd be sitting there going, fucking dance music ain't what it was. So Ben Cronin, you get your shout out. All Patreons get their shout outs. VIP at the top of the show. And look, this was a bit kind of thrown together, but I hope you appreciate. That was a bit, I sound like my mum then. I hope you appreciate what I've done with you today. Listen, fucking hell. Oh, I hate it when the podcast ends like this. I should just look, have a good weekend. Stay off social media. Get drunk, eat fry ups, and I'll see you next week.